In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the life of the hymn writer, Francis Ridley Havergal. I'm always fascinated by Christian biographies, as you probably know by now. When Francis Ridley Havergal was only 11 years old, her mother died and had told the little child just before she died that she prayed that the Lord would prepare her, Francis, for whatever God was preparing for her. Francis said that that became a prayer of her life, that the Lord would always be preparing her for whatever he was preparing for her. And I think that would be a good prayer for all of us to pray, because we can rest assured that nothing is going to happen to us that God is not preparing us for and for us. Do you understand? Her mother died in July of 1848, and a few years later, a guest visited their home, a Miss Cook, and she said, "Before long, I had made a confidant of Miss Cook, who afterwards became my loved mother." I think it must have been February when she was visiting at Okehampton at the same time with me and had several conversations with me, each of which made me more earnest and hopeful. And she's still struggling at this age with whether or not she really is a child of God. At last, one evening, I remember it was twilight, I sat on the drawing room sofa alone with her and told her again how I longed to know that I was forgiven. She asked me a question which led to the hearty answer that I was sure I desired it above everything on earth, that even my precious papa was nothing in comparison. Brothers and sisters and all I loved, I could lose everything if only I could attain this. She paused and then said slowly, "Then, Fanny, I am sure it will not be very long before your desire is granted, your hope fulfilled." After a few more words, she said, "Why cannot you trust yourself to your Savior at once? Supposing that now, at this moment, Christ were to come in the clouds of heaven and take up his redeemed, could you not trust him? Would not his call, his promise, be enough for you? Could you not commit your soul to him, to your Savior Jesus?" Then came a flash of hope across me, which made me feel literally breathless. I remember how my heart beat. "I could, surely," was my response, and I left her suddenly and ran away upstairs to think it out. I flung myself on my knees in my room and strove to realize the sudden hope. I was very happy at last. I could commit my soul to Jesus. I did not and need not fear his coming. I could trust him with my all for eternity. It was so utterly new to have any bright thoughts about religion that I could hardly believe it could be so, that I had really gained such a step. Then and there, I committed my soul to the Savior. I do not mean to say without any trembling or fear, but I did. And earth and heaven seemed bright from that moment. I did trust the Lord Jesus. Then later on, because of her father's eye problems, the family moved to Germany. She said, "I get up at 5 o'clock, breakfast at 7, then I study for 4 hours. Of course, my books are nearly all German, and I write abstracts. I also give 1 hour to French literature. How I do enjoy myself when I get to the German poets and universal history, when I dive into it with avidity. If anything strikes me, I can always refer to the good pastor." At age 17, Francis Ridley Havergal was confirmed in Worcester Cathedral. She tells of how she knelt to pray, and she felt the hands of the minister on her head. My feelings when his hands were placed on my head, and there was solemnity and earnestness in the very touch and manner, I cannot describe. They were too confused. But when the words, "Defend, O Lord, this thy child with thy heavenly grace, that she may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until she come unto thy everlasting kingdom," were solemnly pronounced. If ever my heart followed a prayer, it did then. If ever it thrilled with earnest longing, not unmixed with joy, it did at the words, "Thine forever." But as if in no feeling I might or could rest satisfied, there was still a longing. Oh, that I desired this yet more earnestly, that I believed it yet more fully. It's certainly my hope that some of you listeners who may have doubts as to whether you are a child of God have been helped by Frances's own testimony of how simple it was, how her friend Mary had told her, and then her stepmother, "All you need to do is commit yourself to Jesus. Just believe that his words are for you, that it's you he calls, and it's you whom he wants to embrace as his own child. It's you whose father he wants to be." There's a description which I found very charming in this biography by an Irish schoolgirl. Frances Ridley Havergal had visited the school, and this girl writes, 5 o'clock p.m. was the hour appointed for the elder girls from the school to arrive at the lodge. Mrs. Shaw met us at the hall door with gentle words to each, and then brought us into the dining room, we being in a great state of delight at the thought of seeing the little English lady. In a few seconds, Miss Frances, caroling like a bird, flashed into the room. Flashed, yes, I say the word advisedly, flashed in like a burst of sunshine, like a hillside breeze, and stood before us, her fair sunny curls falling around her shoulders, her bright eyes dancing, and her fresh, sweet voice ringing through the room. I shall never forget that afternoon, never. I sat perfectly spellbound as she sang chant and hymn with marvelous sweetness, and then played 2 or 3 pieces of Handel, which thrilled me through and through. She finished with singing her father's tune to the Church of Our Fathers. She shook hands with each and said with a merry laugh, "The next time I come to Ireland, I think we must get up a little singing class, and then you know you must all sing with me." Another one of the class felt all the time that there must be the music of God's own love in that fair singer's heart, and that so there was joy in her face, joy in her words, joy in her ways. Frances began the study of Hebrew. She memorized all of the Gospels, the Epistles, the Book of the Revelation, the Psalms, Isaiah, and in later years, the Minor Prophets. Can you imagine? I don't know whether you have the custom of memorizing Scripture, but I would certainly encourage it. It's a priceless gift to be able to remember the words of Scripture. And the younger you are when you start, the easier it will be to memorize. So for you parents, read the Bible out loud. Read the same translation to your children over and over and over again. And even if you don't sit them down and say, "Okay, kids, now we are going to memorize Scripture, and we are going to memorize the whole book of the Revelation or all of the Gospels," I really wouldn't recommend that method. You're likely to discourage them pretty much right at the beginning. But it's amazing how if you just simply choose a chapter or a book or a psalm and read it again and again, maybe just once a day for several weeks, you will be amazed at how fast small children can memorize. I've just been visiting my grandchildren in California and have been just incredulous at the things that they have memorized from tapes and videos. And I want to give words of encouragement for any Sunday school teacher that may be listening. Frances Ridley Havergal was a Sunday school teacher. Her Sunday work was a loved employment. In the neatly kept register entitled My Sunday Scholars from 1846 to 1860, each child's birthday, entrance date, occurrences in their home, general impression of their character, and subsequent events in their lives are all carefully noted. While absent for a few weeks, Frances writes to them and says, "My dear children have kept up quite a correspondence with me, and printing all my answers is quite a work of time and patience, but one I do not grudge." Do you pray for your Sunday school children? Do you pray for your school children if you're a school teacher? I trust that you parents pray for your own children. Note your impressions of their character. Note their circumstances, the things that are particularly hard for them right now, for which they need your special prayers. And by all means, when you have opportunity, write them letters. Letters are priceless treasures. They can be kept. Phone calls can't. So much for lessons for today from Frances Ridley Havergal.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.